Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
Thank you, Larissa. Wonderful song, beautifully put across. Wonderful poem, by the way. I love that. Thank you. So much talent in our community. Speaking about the very thing that we're talking about today, how to close the gap between work as drudgery on one end of the spectrum and joy on the other. You know, because sometimes we've had those moments of joy. My work has been awesome. I'm loving every moment of it. Other times, oh my God, why do I have to go here? Why do I have to do this thing? And it's how do we bring it together? One thing for sure, today we're going to be very, very simple, because the last 4 weeks have been a workout, haven't they, with all this mythology and legends and the hero's journey. And I've loved it, don't get me wrong, but I'm ready just to do something real, real simple today, okay? We're not going to get into all that complication. So, work, drudgery or joy or drudgery. And that gap can be wide. You know, sometimes we're on a vacation and we're having a fabulous time, and then we think about, I've got to go back to the real world, yeah? And there's that gap between the joy of being free and then all the misery of having to go back to our everyday life. What about the weekend? You know, when I was in my 20s and I was a school teacher, Sunday nights were the most depressing time of the week for me. I mean, I had so much fun on the weekend, partying and everything, and then we had to go back to school. No, I don't want to do it. We make these gaps, these large gaps between one side of our lives and the other, right? And the whole point of living the spiritual life is to make it a seamless thing so that there is no real gap between vacation and work life, or between the weekend and the week, between the meditation time, because that's another thing. We can have a lovely moment of stillness, and I feel I'm in tune with the universe, and then we get up and go about all our tasks, and it's like, whoa, there's a whole big difference and gap between those two things. It seems to me, though, as we always say in Unity, that the key to bringing them together is that A word, yeah? Attitude. What is our attitude that we bring to bear to anything that we have to do? Because we are beings of activity. We can't stop doing things. Case in point, there's a team of folks that work in our neighborhood, and they work on the landscape and lawn maintenance, and they're mostly family members, and they work extremely hard when they come. They do an awesome job, and they seem to do it with joy. They seem to do it as if it's fine, everything's good. I haven't been inside their heads, but I can feel that they are enjoying what they do, right? And they are dedicated. Maybe they want to do it because they're making a goodly sum of money, and so there's that motivation. Or maybe they just want to do what they're doing. They want to do an excellent job. But they bring motivation to it. They bring an attitude towards it that is always friendly, and they always wave at you and smile, etc. And I'm inspired by this, you know, because I don't want to do that. I don't want to get out in the 100-degree heat and do all that work, yeah? But they are doing it faithfully, and they always cover themselves completely. They're not wearing T-shirts or anything. Cover themselves completely. They are all Hispanic, by the way. And so when I think of Hispanics, I think of hardworking, loving people. I don't see rapists or any other person like that. And no doubt there's a few out there, just as there is in any part of society. But what I see is somebody totally dedicated and working very, very hard with a great attitude, right? And it inspires me to do the same, because that's the way you approach it. It's not what you do so much as how, right? What you bring to the party here. Life, like we said, is activity, right? We cannot avoid doing stuff, can we? That's part of it. Everything in this life experience is work, or a workout, if you want to use that phrase. You know, life itself is a workout, isn't it? And so we have to bring a certain attitude towards that. Years ago, I think it was Cy Barber told me, that not directly, didn't speak to me directly, he was a great guru, but in one of his speeches he says, work is worship. And it blew my mind, because I was still in that huge gap between the weekend and real life, you know. And he said, work is worship. And those words, those simple words, just dropped down into my heart. Wow, what if that was true? What if I could consecrate everything that I do and make it a worship experience, yes? And I think that's what we are called to do. When we have a right attitude, we can turn our work into worship. We are joyfully giving something back into the universe. Charles Fillmore, co-founder of Unity, he wrote this, and I love it. He says, the true object of all work, the true object of all work, two things, to express the powers of one's being and to benefit humankind. Now that sums it up very succinctly there. Listen to that again. The true object of all work is to express the powers of one's being, that's number one, and to benefit humankind. Now, what are you doing then if you're expressing the powers of one's being? You are focused where, though? Where's the focus when you are expressing the powers of your being? We got to get this right. Get this wrong, we screwed the whole sermon up. To quote a phrase. If we are focusing on the powers of one's being, you are turning within to the powers that lie within you, right? You are taking your mind off the work as such, out there, and your whole focus, your whole attitude becomes inward directed, so you find that inner place of possibility and an amazing opportunity, right, that lies within us, because we have everything within us. And from that, we give. Eric Butterworth put it this way. He says, rather than say, what's in it for me, change it to what's in it from me. He understood, see, because when we're in what's in it for me, where's our focus? Outside. Our humanness wants something from outside. We want it to be fixed so that I can feel better. But when it's what's in it from me, I don't have to be fixed. I know that within me is the spirit of all possibility. I want to let it express, right? So instead of an external focus, it's an interior focus. Drudgery always comes when our focus is endlessly exterior, yeah? When it's stuff I have to do, oh my God, I don't want to do it. Joy comes when I remember I have the capability to do any darn thing I want magnificently if I remember the truth of my being, right? Express the powers of one's being, and then to benefit humankind. That's the whole idea behind Alan's song. Those who give to give, not give to get. If we're always giving to get, then where is our focus again? Out. And the whole point of this transformative experience is to get right within ourselves, right? So like we said, it's not what happens out there, it's what we decide to hold to within. How do we show up for the party, right? In the East, they call it karma yoga. Yoga means to be unified. Karma means action. Unified to consecrated action, where your actions is unified with the truth of your own being. So whatever you do then is consecrated, and you do it with love for all beings. Because as Jesus said, when I'm lifted up, all people, everybody gets lifted up. When I remember the truth of my being, what am I doing? It's not just my being. The Spirit is in every one of us, yeah? So when I remember it in me, I can remember it in you. When I behold the love in me, I can begin to see the love in you, right? I can begin to let you in traffic. Because I see that you are no longer against me, that we are all in this together. And if I help you sometimes, I know. You know, it's amazing on the street. If you do something stupid and ugly, it seems like within a mile, somebody's doing the same thing to you. Have you ever noticed this? It's like instant karma, you know? But when you do something nice, then somebody just down the road will do something nice to you. How does that work? Because of change in attitude. When my attitude is more open, good things happen, right? When my attitude is mean and I'm not going to let them, I'm not going to give an inch, then we create a universe like that by simply changing our attitudes. Brother Lawrence, back in the 60s and 70s, a great book was written about him. He was a 17th century monk, and the book was called The Practice of the Presence of God. Anybody ever read it? Wonderful book, isn't it? Practice of the Presence of God. Supposedly, as the story goes, Brother Lawrence wasn't the sharpest tool in the shed, okay? So therefore, they didn't have him in the chapel all the time because he couldn't remember all the holy words. They had him washing up the dishes, okay? But he washed up the dishes in such a way that he began to shine with spiritual joy, and he was more wise than the people who were chanting the chants in the holy office in the chapel. And so people said, well, what's going on here? And they began to ask him what he did, and eventually a book was written about him called The Practice of the Presence of God. Now, what he did was very interesting and very Zen-like, right? Because he wasn't trying to make washing the dishes a holy experience. And sometimes we can make the mistake when we consecrate action, like everything's got to be meaningful, right? Look how special I am. I'm doing this with such special joy, and I'm, oh, it's all meaningful, everything I'm doing. Where is that hiding? And that's really lodging in our heads, right? It's a concept. It's not real, is it? It's not authentic. Neither did he try and find God in the soap suds. You know, there's God in there. I know he's in there. He didn't do any of that because all that would be intellectual. Instead, he simply was present to what he was doing, and that was it. He washed up the dishes. And he washed up the dishes just without anything added, that it became a pure joy, right? It was a simple, easy thing for him to do then. It wasn't a chore. It wasn't drudgery. It was just, that's mine to do. His attitude was open to spaciousness within that task. Not trying to find God in it. Not trying to make it meaningful, but just do it. Just doing that experience. When I bring motivation, you know, for instance, if I have to sweep the house or do something like that, do something in the garden, if I think about it, no, oh God, I don't want to do that. But if I think, I'm going to make my house look nicer, Wendy's going to be happy with me. You know, those honeydews are important, aren't they? But, you know, if there's motivation that helps me, then the task becomes fun, you know? Then I can't wait to see how well I can sweep that dust up. Wow. The dust hasn't changed. It's always been there and always will be there. But I choose to change, right? I choose to bring an attitude towards it that is based on, wow, this is going to be an adventure. This is going to be fun. I want to do this. There's an accomplishment that's going to come to it. I'm not trying to make it meaningful. I'm not trying to sweep up like nobody swept up before. I'm just sweeping up. But it becomes joy-filled. Now, the Bhagavad Gita is good on this. Let me read some passage. This is chapter 3 of the Gita. And this is Krishna, the representative God, the God energy within us, speaking to us. And he said, he who shirks action does not attain freedom. So it's not a question of avoiding action. We have to act, right? You're not going to find freedom just because you avoid. There is no couch potato enlightenment, folks. Though somebody, you can bet your bottom dollar that somebody's going to write a book about it. Couch potato enlightenment. Don't believe them! He who shirks action does not attain freedom. No one can gain perfection by abstaining from work. Indeed, there is no one who rests for even an instant. Every creature is driven by action to action by its own nature. And that brings up ants for me. Did anybody read that this week? For every one human being, there are 1.5 million ants. Now, if there's 6.5 billion people on the planet, right, then multiply that by 1.5 million, you get quite a few trillion. So who is really in charge of the planet? Ants. You know, we think we are, but ants are in charge. And what do ants do? They work like ants, don't they? They never stop working. They're constantly working. So if you want to be successful on the planet, be like an ant. Do your work. And you don't see an ant complaining, you know? There's no placards on ant heaps, is there, saying, I wish I didn't have to do this work. They're obviously happy in doing their work. That's what they do. Those who abstain from action while allowing the mind to dwell on sensual pleasure, in other words, oh gosh, there's going to be fun if I didn't have to do this work. If you do that, you cannot be called a sincere spiritual aspirant, but they excel who control their senses through the mind, using them for selfless service. We have that power, right? We could change our, it's the A word again, attitude. Fulfill all your duties. Action is better than inaction. Even to manage your body, you are obliged to act. Selfish action imprisons the world. I would say amen to that, you know, because that's what's leading us into this crazy divisiveness, isn't it? Greed, separate thinking, wanting to divide and control, yeah? Instead of remember that we're all in this together. Act selflessly without any thought of personal profit. You know, I'm a minister, right? And actually, I'm 28 years a minister this weekend. I came to Fort Worth to minister September 3rd, 1988. I know a minister means a servant. So if you're a minister, you serve. Now, you know, there's varying gradations of that. I'm sure I haven't got it perfect all the time, but I've must be my dedication to serve. And as a result of that consecrated action, because that's what it is, I've always received blessings and have been provided for. So I know this stuff works, right? Because I put it into practice in my life. When you give, when you are willing to selflessly serve and minister unto others, and not just as a minister, as any of us, then we will receive blessings. We will live a happier, more contented life. And I come back to those wonderful people working in our neighborhood. I applaud them because I see them working selflessly. And yeah, they're getting paid for it. Of course they are. They're not doing it just for fun. But I see them giving a gift that I can learn from, you know. And that's of incalculable worth, I think. And this is another thing we're going to spend a lot of time on in the fall, folks, is focusing on what's good and what works in our society rather than what's bad and what's broken, you know? Because I think we need to spend, yes, and we're going to, amen. And we're going to start that this week at the World Day of Prayer, but that's why I want to do a healing service, healing for ourselves personally, but healing for our world and our country. Because as we go through the fall, I want to do more and more things like that that remind us of what's important. Because we want to be a community that is making a difference in the right way, right? Remembering we're all one here. At the beginning, mankind and the obligation of selfless service were created together. Interesting. Once you came into embodiment, into form, then you had to act. That's the nature of it. If you're spirit, you could just rest. But spirit doesn't just rest forever. It comes into human form and then there's activity. Through selfless service, you will always be fruitful and find the fulfillment of your desires. This is the promise of the Creator. Listen to Jesus. This is from John 4. And he just talked to the Samaritan woman, and he hadn't eaten for a long time. And his disciples returned, and they said, "Has someone brought him food? He must be hungry by now." And Jesus said to them, "I am fed by doing the will of the one who sent me and by completing his work." See, his attitude was totally inward-centered, wasn't it? My will is God's will, right? I am fed by doing the will of the one who sent me and completing his work. That's my glorious task, is to keep doing this until we're all free, yeah? Don't, and here's the next bit. Don't you ever saying 4 more months and then it's time for harvest? Look, I tell you, open your eyes and notice the fields are already ripe for harvest. Now, in the world of conditioning, there's time and space. But in the world of spirit, it is... it's already accomplished, right? The good is already here. That's the point. Once you're into that place, the joy is already present. We don't have to wait for the job to change before we find the joy. The fields are already white for harvest. It's already accomplished. You have everything you need within you. All you need to do is therefore let it out, right? Let the imprisoned splendor out with selfless action. That's karma yoga. That's consecrated action. That's what he's saying. This is where I live, says Jesus. I don't live in the world of conditions, in the world of drudgery, in the world of later. I'm only living in the world of receiving and expressing now, right? And it's a wondrous place to live. And then he goes on, he says, those who harvest are receiving their pay and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that those who sow and those who harvest can celebrate together. This is a true saying, that one sows and another harvests. I have sent you to harvest what you didn't work hard for. Others worked hard, and you will share in their hard work. In other words, we are all in this together. Did you create the breakfast that was on your table today? You might have fixed it, but did you create it? No, it came from somewhere else, didn't it? It came from a multiplicity of people. Someone farmed it, grew it. Another person harvested it. Then they processed it. They put it in form that you could buy it in the grocery store. Numerous people were involved in that. And then it ended up on your table, yes? So we are all in this together. This work doesn't just involve us. We participate in this plan for good. Yeah? And we have to remember that we owe so much to so many people. I owe it to the people in my neighborhood, the crew there. I owe it to all the people in all the grocery stores of our city. When we see the things that are wrong, we also should notice all the things that are right. That keeps this organism called the DFW Metroplex moving along quite well. So the next time you BMW bitch, moan, and whine about what's going on the highway, and it gets to me because I live right next to it there on the Mixmaster, downtown Mixmaster. I remember that when it's finished, we'll be ready for the next. No. When it's finished, it's going to be joyous. And it's okay. Even in the midst of it, it's still joyous, right? And I give thanks. That's another thing that miraculously happens. Have you noticed this? One day, there's no flyover. The next day, whoa, they built a flyover. When they built it, I don't know. I never saw it. It just showed up one day through the miracle of other people's consecrated hard work. Amen. So, what have we learned today? What of all the things we talked about can we apply in our lives this week? Attitude is huge, isn't it? It's not what we do on any given day. It's how we do it. If I could see it as an adventure, if I'm motivated because it's an accomplishment, because I love someone and I want to help, then it changes everything. Good. Attitude. What else? It's an inside job, as always, right? Get right with yourself. I love that Charles Fillmore quote. Come to the truth of your being, and then you will be given the energy and power, everything you need to bring it forth into the outer. Yeah, it's an inside job. It's all about attitude. One more. What goes around comes around. We're all in this together, right? And there's no division in our world, absolutely, in truth, right? We're all one. And for that, we say, thank you, God. Amen. So once again, we give ourselves this tremendous gift of meditation. Meditation is simply being still, resting a while. God created the whole universe and continues to sustain it out of the stillness, out of the emptiness. And so when we take time to return to that stillness, we go back to the source, back to the heart of things, before activity, stillness. And if our lives are so filled with activity that we never had time to be still, then we cut ourselves off from that creative process, which arises from our willingness to be quiet, contact that stillness within, a place of infinite potential possibility. So the gift of meditation is simply to do that, to be still. At the beginning, in the middle, and at the end, stillness, out of which comes dedicated, consecrated action. So from that place of stillness, we can affirm that we are now dedicated and consecrated to the will, the work, and the way of the glorious Spirit within us. And when we do this, energies flow, arise from within, and meet the divine order without to provide for joyous, fulfilling experiences. So as we go into the silence, let us take that affirmation with us. I am now dedicated and consecrated to the will, the work, and the way of the glorious Spirit of the Christ at the heart of my being, in the stillness. In that stillness that we feel now in this sanctuary, which has arisen from each of our hearts, we feel that presence of the allness of God. We are now dedicated and consecrated to letting that light and love unfold as we move through our week. And we know that wonderful experiences are now coming to us in direct relation to that dedication. And for all this, we are grateful. Thank you, God.
Thanks for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We sincerely thank you for your contribution, and we affirm with you, divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. And I am grateful.